Brothers and sisters, Job could not understand the suffering that had come upon him, so he continuously cried out and blamed God. Yet, no matter how desperately Job cried out, God remained silent. Then, at the appointed time, God finally broke his silence and appeared to Job, awakening him through various metaphors. In the previous session, we saw how God enlightened Job on his power through illustrations of clouds, rain, lightning, lions, and ravens. But why didn't God simply say to Job, "You did this wrong, repent"? Why did he choose to speak in parables instead? It was so that Job would feel embarrassed and deeply feel his ignorance, rebellion, and sin on his own and feel true remorse. We can think about repentance here. It would be good if a person never commits sins again and becomes sanctified right after accepting the Lord. But it's impossible to find such a person even after you accept the Lord and find out about sin and evil. Even though you know that you have been cleansed through His precious blood, you still have the sinful natures and forms of evil revealed. Sometimes you make mistakes, sometimes you commit sins. The important thing is you have to repent. You have to show true repentance. And once you are declared but some people, they just pray with their lips so they cannot be forgiven. But true repentance, once you become declared for that process, some people realize themselves by themselves, but others, they need detailed explanation. Only then they try to acknowledge themselves, admit themselves. Why? Because they continually refuse to admit themselves, giving excuses and justify themselves. They, even though they receive rebuke, they receive advice, they try to defend themselves. And even though someone says you have to reflect on yourself, then he has to discover himself on his own in detail. He needs to have that attitude, but people don't do that because they justify themselves, because they love their self. As they give excuses, they cannot have deep awakening. That's why another person has to explain what sins and evil he committed in detail. This is exhausting. And also, he's very slow to change. And it is not actually the best type of repentance. If you really realize yourself and repent. Actually, Job, he didn't refuse to accept God's word. He was listening, and he admitted that all God's words are accurate and right. He was listening to God's word with that attitude. And that's why God didn't have to explain all things in details. He just spoke indirectly. Even though he spoke indirectly, Job realized himself. Another thing is, when you repent, if you just repent ambiguously, like, "Father, forgive me," that's not perfect repentance. You have to repent, confess things in detail, every detail. For example, you committed a works of the flesh with the works of the flesh. They just say, "Father, you know that I know that I didn't live by the word. Please forgive me." This is not repentance. When you pray, you have to confess things humbly. You have to say, Father, I committed works of the flesh leading to death. I committed a works of flesh. You have to confess your sins in detail. Not only that, on top of that, and there are also other types of sin. When you love a man or a woman, and you may also, because you're in that kind of relationship, you stop praying. You have to also pray, because I loved someone, I also stopped praying, and I couldn't worship God in spirit and truth. You have to also repent of having idle thoughts, having not shown faithfulness, not just one sin, but other detailed types of sin. There are many. You have to discover them and repent in detail. This is true repentance. And Job had an humble attitude, and he acknowledged himself, but he, God, Job acknowledged his fault, and he, and God reminded him of his faults, but he didn't speak it directly, and he used the illustrations of animals. He also talked about the love of the parents, and God also let him realize that he resented his parents and it was wrong. God explained in detail, and that's why God, you have to realize that. And even though you repented, some of you may have repented roughly, half-heartedly, or ambiguously. But once you go deeper into your major sin, there are minor sins as well. But some people just say, Father God, just forgive me. So along with repentance, you have to circumcise your heart, and you, because Job was ready to accept every word of God with amen. God didn't speak to him directly. For example, when someone behaves in a way that defies common sense, people often say, even a child wouldn't do that. This is another way of saying, you are an adult, why can't you understand? Even a child would know it's wrong. Hearing such a remark usually makes a person realize their mistake and feel ashamed. In the same way, although God could have pointed things out to Job directly, he chose to use illustrations from animals so that Job would come to recognize his ignorance and rebellion and understand that everything is ultimately fulfilled in God's will. This is the love and wisdom of God. People express themselves in different ways. Some speak directly, others more gently in roundabout ways, and some use metaphors. The wisest way to speak is to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit and choose an appropriate method for each situation. There are times when we have to speak directly under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In that moment, the person may feel hurt, yet as time passes, their heart begins to change. Sometimes, the Spirit even works through a dream, and the person repents the following day, saying, I was wrong. How could this happen? Sometimes, even when they get their sins pointed out, the another person did it out of love. And also, he, even though once you give advice out of the love, out of the works of the Holy Spirit, another person will have an awakening and change. But there are exceptions. Even though you give advice out of love, another person may not acknowledge or admit himself, then he cannot change. The example is Judas Iscariot. But as you, there are some people, after they give advice, other people stumble. Then they have to know that they gave advice out of self-righteousness, not out of love. Then once you give advice, you don't feel comfortable. You may be afraid that another person may stumble because you did it out of love. But so you have to pray. And in the end, another person changes. And then you realize that you, some people may say, I gave advice out of love, but he didn't accept it. But you have to examine whether you are giving advice out of love or not. Sometimes you have to speak directly, other times speak indirectly. In chapter 39, which we begin today as well, God spoke to Job using various animals as examples. I pray that you will understand God's wisdom and power through the word and apply it well to your life. God continued to ask Job questions about things beyond his understanding. Do you know the time the mountain goats give birth? Do you observe the calving of the deer? Can you count the months they fulfill? And do you know the time they give birth? Today, through research, we can understand in detail the biology and behavior of wild animals. Generally, goats have a gestation period of about 150 days and usually give birth to 1 to 3 kids. As for deer, while it varies by species, on average, they are pregnant for about 240 days and typically give birth to 1 or 2 fawns. However, in Job's time, no one would have known such natural facts with certainty. Since mountain goats dwell in rocky wilderness areas and are known for their fierce and wild nature, it must have been difficult to approach them. God is talking about the wild goats. And they are very wild and fierce. And once they are approached, they attack. Goats and deers. In Job's time, people could not know about their lives exactly. But why did God ask Job such a question? Job, if you do not even know when a mountain goat or a deer... Job, if you do not even know when a mountain goat or deer give birth to his offspring, how could you possibly understand that I, your God, provide for you and work in your life? Namely, God was asking, Job, you claim to know everything, but you don't even understand the natural phenomena that are right before your eyes. Then, how could you possibly understand the invisible God, the one who is almighty, who created the heavens and the earth, who governs history, and who controls life and death and blessings and curses? How could you know why He has given you this trial? These words also have the meaning, you have no idea how God would deal with you in the future. When you are in trouble, when you are going through trials, sometimes you may find your situation bleak and you want to give up, and you also misunderstand that God has turned His face away from you. But God never does. Because of sin, you bring troubles upon yourself. Even while you go through trials, but because of your own sins, God wants you to lay down your burdens of sin and repent thoroughly, and wants your trials to end quickly and endure your trials joyfully and then become forgiven and then turn into His children who are loved by Him, pleasing to Him. But if you, there are also trials that come even while you live by the Word. These are trials for blessings, so you should not misunderstand God. But sometimes people misunderstand that God has turned His face away from you. God doesn't know about your situation. But this is so stupid. And what God said to Job, and from the words God spoke to Job, if we have, as I prepare this message, I also remember the trials, and I also checked whether I was thankful during the trials this church went through. I also repented, and if you as the sons and daughters of God, you have received the, you receive guidance and receive the, but sometimes it seems that God is not guiding you. The problem is not God, but it's that you just remove the reins of love from, so that God can no longer guide you. You have to know why. Once you commit wrongdoings, you go through trials and receive forgiveness, and then you, but so you have to repent thoroughly and become forgiven. You should also not afraid of, and through the words God spoke to Job, and God pointed out that Job, you have to know, reflect on your Christian life as well from His words. God was making Job realize that all the words he had spoken until now were in vain, arrogant, and worthless, and that they originated from ill feelings and didn't align with the truth. We should also reflect on the words of our lips in our everyday life. In conversations with our spouses, children, siblings, neighbors, and fellow believers, we speak countless words each day, but how many of them are truly pleasing to God? If we dwell constantly on the Word, our lips will never produce worthless or untruthful words that displease God. James chapter 3 verse 10 reads, "From the same mouth comes both blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, these things should not be this way." You say, "God, thank you, I love you, may you be glorified." You praise, you sing praise and pray, but then you... How can lips that used to say, "God, thank you, I love you," go on to say things like, "I'm so annoyed, I'm tired, I hate this, I hope everything that if we truly have God in our hearts, constantly acknowledging Him, we should always examine whether the words coming from our lips are pleasing to God, or if they are words that bring joy to the enemy devil. As goodness and love fill our hearts, we naturally speak beautiful and good words, one that edify others. Thus, above all, we must strive for the circumcision of the heart and continually examine and refine our speech. Then our lips will gradually be filled with holier words and become lips that bring joy to God. After asking Job whether he knew how many months mountain goats or deer carry their young or when they gave birth, God continued with the following explanation. "They kneel down, they deliver their young, they get rid of their labor pains." Here, God described what great pain animals endure in giving birth to their young and reminded Job of the love and sacrifice his own parents in bringing him into the world. It's not just a man that endure pain in childbirth. Even animals endure pain in childbirth. If you have raised a pet, you have seen it. When animals like dogs and cats get pregnant, they also have labor pains. They also go through labor pains. Those of you who have raised a pet would agree. Or what about cows? They give birth to, as they are in great pain in childbirth. Also, wild animals like our cattle, our pets, by watching them, we know that they all go through pain in childbirth. Through such illustrations, God reminded Job of the love and sacrifice of his parents. God was asking, "Job, do you understand the love of your parents who gave you life? Do you know the love of your mother who bore you for 10 months and endured the pain of childbirth?" Brothers and sisters, let us take a moment to reflect on the love of our parents. Today, as the world is tainted by darkness and sin, there are some heartless parents who abandon their children after birth or even abuse them. But most parents are not like that. A mother, while carrying her child for 10 months, is careful in what she eats and even how she moves, all to protect her baby. Many of them watch what they see, hear, say, and even think for the sake of the child's well-being in the womb. And when the time finally comes for them to give birth, how much pain do they have to endure? And raising the child also requires great effort and devotion. Nowadays, with advanced medicine, people are not worried about dying in childbirth. They are only concerned about the long labor pains or other things. They may be also concerned about the health of their infants, but people are not worried that their pregnant women would die. But in the past, many years ago, people died. Both the baby and the woman died. It happened. It requires such great effort, and even though it doesn't end up in death, the childbirth is so great. So pregnant women even declared that, "I would never give birth to a baby," but They say that they forget all their pain as they see their kids growing up. Well, through such pain and childbirth, each of you have been born. Parents change their baby's wet bedding to dry ones so the child can sleep comfortably, watch over them day and night in case anything goes wrong, and raise them with great care. Some newborns, they don't sleep at night. So sometimes wives or husbands have to stay awake even though they have to take some rest after work. But they have to take care of the baby. Even though they're already exhausted, they have to carry them in their arms, trying to put them to sleep. And parents go through a lot trying to put them to sleep. They give them food, give their babies food, and especially when they are new. With such care and devotion, parents raise their children. As the child grows, they send them to school, and even after the child becomes an adult, the parents' worries do not end until the child gets married. But does marriage mean the parents' concerns are over? No. If the child comes to them distressed by marital quarrels or even contemplating divorce, how heartbroken they will feel. Parents always hope their children will live happily, but reality often does not unfold as they wish. When the children struggle due to financial hardships, parents feel sorry that they cannot be of help. Growing old, they worry that they might become a burden to their children. Until their life on earth ends and they are called by God, parents' love and concern for their children never cease. Does this mean the parents in heaven who have gone to heaven worry about their children? And they would pray, but they would not be concerned. But except that, except in the cases the parents are in New Jerusalem, they don't know what's going on in earth in detail. So, let's say when your parents go to heaven first, breathe their last, and the parents keep praying for their children so that they can live a good Christian life. But that doesn't mean they have worries and concerns. They always pray for you when they're in heaven. Yet some people say, if my parents hadn't given birth to me, I wouldn't have to suffer like this. Why did they give birth to me? They don't even take responsibility for me. They don't give many good things. They make me suffer like that. Some people have such complaints, harbor such complaints. Such thoughts are not only blaming their parents, but also complaining about their own lives. No matter how hard life may be, we must never resent our parents. One day, when you enter heaven, you will feel deeply ashamed of such complaints. Why? When you are in heaven, you find you cannot but confess and regret. Heaven is so wonderful. Why did I ever say such things? Because my parents gave me birth. I've come to heaven. Why was I not thankful for the blessing? Brothers and sisters, heaven is a place filled with unspeakable joy and happiness. There is no worries, no sorrows, no death, and no tears. We will live forever in that glorious and beautiful place, giving glory to God with hearts full of joy and gratitude. Therefore, brothers and sisters, as you live on this earth, always give thanks in all circumstances, hoping for heaven where eternal happiness awaits. And let us never forget the sacrifice and love of our parents who gave us life and nurtured us. However, Job did not understand the love of his parents. So when trials came, he resented his parents and even cursed the day of his birth. He lamented in chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, "May the day on which I was to be born perish, and the night which said, 'A boy is conceived.' May the day be darkness. May God above not care for it, nor light shine on it." He lamented the fact that he was even born. He also resented his mother who had given birth to him and raised him, saying, "Why was it that knees received me, and why breasts that I should nurse? For now I would have laid down and been quiet. I would have slept, then I would have been at rest." If a child sat in front of their parents, "Why was I even born? I wish I had never been born," how distressed would his parents feel? If we truly understand the love of our parents, we would never resent them or speak hurtful words against them, no matter how difficult our circumstances may be. Therefore, God used the labor animals endure in giving birth as a metaphor to awaken Job to the love of parents. And Job must have felt, "I resented my parents, and I also complained about the night I was born." He had a chance to repent in detail. So this was God's love for Job. And through the illustrations of animals and their childbirth and the love of the parents, and through this, God also revealed that He too endured such labor and pain because He loves mankind. We must not only recognize the love of our parents, but also understand the love of God, which is incomparably greater and deeper. Just as a person carries a baby for 10 months, endures the pain of childbirth, and faces countless worries and concerns while raising the child, God also pours out immeasurable sacrifice and love until one soul is saved and becomes a true child. Accepting the Lord and being born again by water and the Spirit is not the end. Just as a newborn does not become a fully mature person overnight, we cannot be considered true children of God until we've completely cast off the attributes of untruth. Therefore, those who have accepted Jesus Christ and been born again by water and the Spirit must go through the process of growing into a complete people of a truth. When parents raise their children, they are joyful when their children are obedient and healthy. However, when their children become sick, disobey, or go astray, they are filled with worry and sorrow. Likewise, when we fall into the sin of turning away from faith, God feels even deeper sorrow and pain than parents do for their children. So once you commit great sin and repent, you also have to repent of giving God such great pain, heartache. You have to repent, "God, I complain. I lived in sins. You must have been heartbroken. You must strongly lamented over me. Please forgive me." Have you ever prayed like that? If you haven't, you have to know. Understand the love of God. We must understand how much pain and suffering God has endured to ensure that not even one soul is lost to the enemy devil. In order to save us, God gave up His one and only Son to die on the cross. Our Lord bore such harsh suffering, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and even now continues to intercede for us with tears. Also, the Holy Spirit helps us live in the truth. And when we are weak and fall into sin, He Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Because Father God, the Lord, and the Holy Spirit embraced through the ages that countless souls have borne the fruit of heaven. If we truly grasp this truth in our hearts, we will never again crucify Jesus through our sins. Instead, we will press on with unwavering faith towards heaven. Brothers and sisters, just as parents desire to be deeply loved by their children, so you must reflect on whether you love God as much as you desire to be loved by your own children. Moreover, as parents, we must teach our children to love God even more than they love us. Parents, as when your kids are still young, you can teach your children. Your children obey you well, but let's say their faith in God is not good, but then you have, if you want to teach your children a good way, you have to first love God first. This is how you nurture your children well, and this is the making your children prosper. And if you are parents with young kids, you have to know what you are teaching to your children. If you only think about giving joy to your children, like giving gifts, you have to know, you have to reflect on whether you are giving them spiritual nurturing. Because as much as children love God, they will receive His love, prosper on this earth, and receive rewards and glory in the eternal kingdom of heaven. Even if a child were willing to sacrifice their life for their parents, what benefit would there be for their soul if they do not love God and turn away from Him? Teaching children to love God first is the truest expression of love for them. And among Sunday school kids, some of them, they love God. They take joy in praising God, worshiping God. Even though they are little kids, like elementary school kids, they have spiritual experiences. They sometimes catch a cold, have a fever, or get injured, or by falling down somewhere. But as they love God and have faith in God, once they have sickness, they volunteer, they receive prayer on their own, and they get healed, and they grow in faith, and their faces are radiant with light. And as they are, and these kids are recognizable, even as they are young, and they are, I believe that these people will grow up as to become a person who really loves God. But those kids, if they don't love God, they have to apply medicine, take medicine, and they complain to their parents. Because what use would there be if parents love their children in only in physical way? As mentioned earlier, God paid an immeasurably great and deep price to save us. So before desiring love from your children, you must first examine how much you love the one who has given you such overwhelming love. You must love God first. The same applies when dealing with souls. Evangelizing and nurturing souls can be likened to a mother who gives birth and raises her child. Just as a mother forgets the pain of childbirth when she sees the face of her newborn in joy and awe, so too is the joy indescribable when a soul we have wept and prayed for receives the Lord and becomes a child of God. Just as parents rejoice in seeing their newborn grow, there is great joy in seeing a soul born of water and the Spirit grow in faith. The more spiritual children we bear, the more glory and joy we bring to God, and the greater the rewards and blessings we will receive in heaven. Just as a newborn needs the careful care of parents, new believers need the care of their workers until they are firmly established on the rock of faith. We must nurture believers with love and patience until they grow from spiritual infants who need milk to mature believers who can eat solid food and even bear spiritual children. We must help them become faithful workers who can stand before God on their own. How joyful and rewarding it is to see a soul we have evangelized growing in faith and becoming a good church worker. I also, when I deal with church workers, some and some people say, that church worker, I brought her to the church. They are very happy as they see the person whom they brought to church becoming a church worker or becoming an elder or a senior deaconess. So I can also compliment them. But this is a temporary joy. It's not just a temporary joy on this earth, but it is something you can boast of forever. And how great will their gratitude be towards you in heaven? They can give you thanks forever in heaven. They will say, because of your evangelism, I was able to accept the Lord and come to heaven. Through your prayers and teachings, my soul prospered and I've come to this beautiful heaven. Because of you, Pastor Lee, I've come to the third kingdom of heaven. Because of you, Pastor Park, I've come to New Jerusalem. How proud you must feel. But what if you are lower than love and thankfulness overflows in heaven? They just confess and thankful. In heaven, the beauty and thankfulness overflows in that place. Even though someone who brought you to church is in a lower place in heaven, you will still appreciate him, knowing that you have listened to the gospel, and you're still thankful that she brought to the church. But you will feel the person who brought you to church may feel a little embarrassed, and you have to. This is kind of a goodwill competition. Let's say the person whom you brought to church and grow in faith, and then they appreciate you, how joyful and thankful you may feel. On this earth, gratitude may be expressed only for a moment, but in heaven, that gratitude and joy will last forever. Heaven is the very essence of truth, an unchanging and eternal place. To lead one soul to salvation is more precious than anything else. And as we evangelize 2, 3 or more souls, the value and joy multiply all the more. Yet, just as a mother must endure the pain of giving birth to her child, so must we be willing to endure much patience and sacrifice until one soul becomes a complete person of truth. That's why the Apostle Paul said, my children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. In the same way, we must recognize how much pain and perseverance God endures so that each and every one of us may come to complete and mature faith. Many people, as they walk the path of faith, will sometimes stumble or fall. Yet, God patiently waits, enduring with long-suffering love until we stand firm in faith. So let us deeply engrave the love in our hearts and finish the race of faith well all the way to the end. I ask in our Lord's name that each of you realize how precious it is to save even one soul and earnestly fulfill your calling to evangelize and care for souls. The following verse, chapter 39, verse 4, reads, "Their offspring become strong. They grow up in the open field. They leave and do not return to them." In other words, when mountain goats or deer give birth, their young are raised in the open field, and once they grow strong, they leave their mothers and do not return. Most animals, once grown, leave the care of their mothers and go their own way. Through this example of wild animals, God is describing the nature of people. From God's perspective, those who do not know Him are no different from these animals. Many people live their lives without knowing the Creator God. God who is light, goodness, and righteousness, not knowing where they came from, why they are living, or where they are headed, they live as a police, committing all kinds of evil. Because they do not know God, they end up living like beasts, some even more wicked than beasts. That's why it is written in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 18, "I said to myself, regarding the sons of mankind, God is testing them in order for them to see that they are as animals, they to themselves. But those who know the God who gave them life live according to His ways and pursue what is good." To such people, God says, "My son, my daughter," and blesses them, leading them on the path to eternal life. Because God values a single soul more than the whole world, He waits earnestly today and tomorrow for that soul to repent and return to Him. He longs for us to be restored to His image. And with patience like 1,000 years in a day, He waits for us with long-suffering love. If not for God's great patience, all of humankind would already have perished. Even when we walk the path of faith and sometimes stumble, feel weary, or fall to the ground, God will surely give us the strength to rise again. If we pray, saying, "Father, I'm tired, but because this is the road to heaven, I press on again today. Please uphold me with your mighty hand and grant me grace and strength." Then our Father responds, "Yes, I will give you strength. Overcome and return to me. Even if you fall, rise again. I will help you." But if you grow up spiritually and understand His heart, you don't say to Father God, "Father, I'm suffering." Instead, you will say, "Father, please give me strength. I can overcome." You wouldn't say negative words like, "I am suffering." But instead, you can bring down God's power through prayer. You can, your prayer, but even if you are still lacking and sometimes you say negative words, God wouldn't say that according to your levels of faith, God will cheer you on and gives you strength. Earthly parents may endure their children's mistakes to a certain point, but when their patience run out, they sometimes give up. Some may say hurtful things like, "Do as you wish, get out of my sight," or even, "I wish you were gone." But our God never does that. Even after 1 year, 10 years, 30 years, or 50 years, He never gives up. Never gives up on us. He patiently waits, longing for the soul to repent and return. Brothers and sisters, then what is God trying to teach us through verse 4 of today's passage? He is showing us that unless He puts the reins of truth on us, just as a person puts a ring through an ox's nose, we are bound to live lives no different from that of beasts. In other words, unless God leads us in truth, we cannot walk the path to eternal life. Like an untamed donkey, we will only run aimlessly in every direction, headed towards destruction.
That's why God, in His love, puts the reins of truth upon us. These reins are the words of Scripture that say, do this, keep this, put this away, and do not do that. And yet, because we have free will, we can choose to obey these words and walk towards heaven, or we can choose to leave God's embrace, and return to the world. We can loosen the reins ourselves and abandon the narrow road to follow the wide path. We have the free will given by God. This is what makes a difference from animals or beasts. Animals, they follow their instincts, but human beings have free will, so they have made choices. Of course, animals make choices, but they just follow their instincts, but we have free will. Our choices are different from animals. Father has given us the free will, but God wants His believers. God places the reins of love upon us and guiding us towards good places in heaven. But we can also loosen or remove the reins of love with complaints. We can remove them ourselves. Some people do that so they get out of the boundary of salvation. They get fall away from grace. This is what human beings are like. This is lamentable, regrettable. This shouldn't happen. But we must realize this. The reins of truth, the reins of God's love are not meant to hurt us or restrict us. Rather, they free us from the chains of sin. They release us from the death and lead us into eternal life. When we truly understand this, we will come to you. God says that this is sin. That is sin. And you used to hate. You used to judge and condemn. But we find that there are sins in the church. And sometimes you may feel burdened, and you may feel like your freedom is taken away. In the past, after you show your irritation, you feel refreshed. But God tells you not to do that. So as you learn the word of truth, you you feel burdened, and you feel pangs of conscience, and you feel distressed, and you feel like you feel convicted, and because of you. Does this mean we feel our lives become miserable because of and people who just live as they please, they cannot receive God's blessings. So when God tells you to listen, God is trying to give you true freedom and true blessings. This is the way to true freedom and true blessings. Once we obey, all our tears, sorrows, and pain, we are relieved from all our tears and sorrow and pain. If you show irritation, if you have quarrels, does that mean you have freedom? Even when someone harasses us, we still serve that person, and we tearfully pray for that person. And So you enjoy true blessings that way. As written in John chapter 8, verse 32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. When we believe in and live by the Word of God, who is the truth itself, we can experience the true freedom that only God gives. In the end, the reason God places the reins of truth on us is for our happiness.
Because 진리의 고삐이며 사랑의 고삐임을 깨달아.
It is only by living the truth that we gain true freedom and eternal life. So let us realize that the reins by which God leads us are not burdensome. They are the reins of truth and of love. And let us offer sincere thanksgiving and praise to God from the depth of our hearts. God is holding us with the reins of truth so that our freedom does not lead us into sin and destruction. The Bible says, we can see that God disciplines those who loves. He says that if we do not strive against sin to the point of shedding blood, He will rebuke, discipline, and even scourge us as a loving father corrects his children. He doesn't aim to just give us punishment, but it's a loving rein given to guide us towards salvation and the path of eternal life. When a beloved child keeps trying to break free and run away, God uses discipline to turn them back from the road of faith, from the road of death, and to lead them onto the way of life. If God did not discipline us, it would mean that we are illegitimate children and not true sons and daughters of God. Just as a sheep that strays from its shepherd can be devoured by wolves or stolen by thieves, when we wander away from God, we too can end up in death amidst the temptations of the world and sin. But because our Heavenly Father does not want His children to perish, He lovingly holds us with the reins of truth and leads us toward heaven. Therefore, I pray in our Lord's name that you will give thanks to God who is holding you with the reins of love, become people of perfect obedience, and enjoy true freedom in the truth.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases, heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes.
Give our students wisdom and understanding, and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do.
Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.